They called us deplorables. We're not gonna take it. They shut down our country. No, we ain't gonna take it. They say our thoughts are disinformation. This is Our Response, The Rob Carson Show.
It is Rob Carson Show, and by the grace of God, it is finally Friday. I hope you've had a glorious week this week, or at least a pretty good one. Hands clasped, knees bent for the people of Florida, and also for those on the East Coast. I guess Charleston, South Carolina, going to be hit here with some pretty severe rain and obviously some flooding as well. And everything is just as bad as they thought it would be in Florida. And apparently not as bad in Orlando as they thought it was going to be. But Sanibel, Captiva, coastal regions like that. I went to Captiva years and years and years ago. Before they built the big highway out to the island, you had to use a boat, and you're going to have to use a boat again because it's ugly. As far as death toll, don't know a whole lot about it yet. They had originally said that hundreds would be dead, and fortunately, what I have heard, that estimate was really high. So there you go. There you go. And just real quick, I've tried to stay off of social media, pissing matches, particularly on Twitter. And I'm about ready to just give up posting on Twitter altogether, just because honestly, it's just kind of childlike. You know, I don't usually get into, pissing matches with people on Twitter. I did a little bit yesterday. Somebody tweeted, they thought they were being funny, and they put a picture of Mar-a-Lago underwater and said, we can only hope, right? And I thought that was kind of a D-word move, you know? So this woman who's on there said, look, even women can be D-words. And she got all butthurt, and she blocked me and everything. And I realized, I don't need to play this game. I'm too mature for that. No, actually, I don't have time for it. I really don't. It's high schoolish. That's the thing about social media. Social media, you know what social media is? Let me give a prime example here, all right? So we got a couple dogs, and our dogs are girl dogs. We got three dogs all together, and there are two of them. Lucy's this little, what she's called, a Coton de Tuileries, which is a Bichon. I know that sounds foofy and everything. We found her starving in the woods behind our house. They dumped a bunch of puppies from a puppy mill. We got Lucy, right? So there's a little dog about 12 pounds, and we got an American Eskimo. And these dogs are idiots when there's a fence between them and another dog on the other side. For instance, there was a pit bull on the other side of the fence, and my dogs would go out there, and they just went, rah, 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 and they were picking a fight and all this stuff, and they were going to go after this dog and all that. And this pit bull got a hold of one of my dog's legs and shredded it, just took the dew claw off and the whole deal. And because they're being aggressive and all this, even though they're little dogs that they have no chance of winning with anything. And this happens with dogs. Same way, we got one of those wire fences between us there, you know. And there's a bulldog over here. When a bulldog comes out, they get real aggressive. And then you take the fence away, and all of a sudden they're just fine. That's what social media does to people. All right, so you've got the barrier of social media between you and the other dogs, and you say all these horrible, horrible things about the other dogs, but if you ever met that person at a cocktail party, you wouldn't say the same thing to them, because you might get your butt kicked, to say the least. But that's what social media is. It's like dogs with fences, kind of like that. I think that's a pretty good analogy. Pretty good analogy if you look at it. It's followed all this nonsense, and I kind of wonder, with some of the social media, what the redeeming factor is to even engaging in it. You know? I like my Getter. I like my Truth Social because I can say what I want to say without it having taken down. We know through the news the last few years that, well, now officially, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter have all been working with the federal government, with the FBI, with the DOJ, with the Biden administration. They've all been working together. They've been fed. Literally, Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch, he had a video he posted on YouTube about the election of 2020, and a government official in California wrote to YouTube and said, we need you to take this down. And they said, okay, okay. So they did it. So So why even bother with YouTube? And then go to Rumble, by the way. Russell Brand, comedian, he used to be like hyper-liberal. He's finally pulled his head out of his rear end. He has moved over to Rumble because Rumble is like, okay, be liberal over here, be conservative over here, or just share a puppy video. We don't care. Doesn't matter. But honestly, I really believe, you look at the Facebook, I think Facebook is done. Mark Zuckerberg no longer in the top 10 richest people in America, and Meta is going down the tubes because they lied. They betrayed the public trust. They became Pravda. No, worse than that. Worse than Pravda, because they had the First Amendment, and our press has had the First Amendment, which has made us the greatest engine of individual and economic freedom in the history of mankind. And in places like North Korea, if you don't say exactly what the party line is, you go to prison for your life, and then your children who are born in captivity, they're in prison for life. But here in the United States, they just go, yes, sir, let's just do it. I'll do whatever you say. And it's sickening. It really is sickening. So we saw a lot of social media about the hurricane and whatnot. And if you just pay attention, you see they're trying to play us. They're trying to make this use this storm for political gain. We're going into the election. They want to make sure that for some, I don't know, inane reason that possibly that the Inflation Reduction Act may have reduced the severity of the storm, but it's still really bad, and it's all Ron DeSantis' fault. It doesn't make any sense. Pardon me. I didn't get to the sneeze in time. So, for instance, we all, you've been hearing this thing about climate change and the oceans are warming. That's a lie. And the number of hurricanes has increased, and the severity has increased, although they had to change that because the number hasn't increased. Let me give you an example. So in 2011 to 2020, there were 19 hurricanes. That's 2011 to 9 years, there were 19 hurricanes. In 1851 to 1860, there were 19 hurricanes. It dipped in 1861 to 1870 to 15. The most number of hurricanes in the United States happened in 1941 to 1950. That was before SUVs were around. One of the lower points was 1971 to 1980. There are only 12. And by the way, this year we've had one of the slowest hurricane seasons ever. But you know what happens with the world is that sometimes things just happen. Hurricanes have been happening forever on the planet. They have. Dinosaurs probably saw hurricanes. Cavemen said, and there was a hurricane. They saw it. They happen. And it is amazing that the left always uses natural phenomena, school shootings, to forward their agenda. And that's what they've tried to do, much to the great suffering of the Floridian people. So I've not spent a lot of time trying to refute nonsense about all the the climate change and all this stuff. All I've really focused on social media is just pray. Just pray. Find an organization that you trust. Donate some money if you can. That's what you should do. And when I look at Ron DeSantis, when I look at what he's done, it looks like he's going to be the template for disaster response, which I think is great. So shut up about politicizing this. Shut up about shredding Ron DeSantis, because you're just going to look like tools like you have forever. I'm talking to the left here. But here is Joe Biden yesterday, the U.S. Pacific Island Country Summit, I guess, talking about global warming, climate change, the hole in the ozone, global cooling, whatever.
Our commitment to tackling the climate crisis, which threatens all of us. We're seeing the consequences of climate change around the world.
No, not really. There's some places it's just beautiful. The weather is absolutely awesome. Growing seasons going beautifully. Here in lovely Kansas, the breadbasket of America, everything's cool. I mean, like the crops are growing. I went up north to Iowa, and literally said, "Well, right here around Logan, Iowa, the crops are a little dry. But you go 20 miles north or 20 miles south, everything's fine. It's just kind of how weather is. But there's no if there were hurricanes happening all over the world right now." If there were tornadoes happening all over the world right now, if in fact the sea levels were rising, then I would say, okay, sure, but they're not. Because the world's elites continue to build when they get a mass great fortune like the Clintons and like the Obamas for doing nothing and not building anything. What do? They choose to build right down there by the seashore. So, you know, honestly, there's a point where you just kind of weigh all the evidence and go, you know, I don't believe the bull crap. But, you know, they'll still try to silence you. They'll still try to say you're a climate change denier. Remember that? It's settled science. They did the same thing with the 2020 election. They did the same thing with Russia collusion, Donald Trump. They did the same thing. It's the same modus operandi. Shout it down. Say it's settled. Say that you're a denier. Say that you're a conspiracy theorist. And you know what? That crap ain't going to work anymore. Saying misinformation and disinformation ain't going to work anymore. I have an opinion. I have thoughts. I have theories. And they will not be denied. And if you let that happen to you, you need to say, we won't be denied. I have every damned right in the world to express my opinion online, in person, on air, whatever, even if it's something you disagree with, and perhaps someone else might disagree with you factually. But you have every right to say it, and nobody has the right to shut you down. Here is Grampy again, not talking to dead people today, talking about climate change.
Very vividly, including in the United States right now. And I know your nations feel it acutely, and for you all, it's an existential threat.
Everything's an existential threat, but, you know, there's no pattern at all. There's no pattern to any of this. There's nothing that's growing. There are no more storms than there have been. Things have not gotten more severe. That's absolutely a lie. You hear people like Don Lemon last night. Oh, I grew up on the coast. I know that the storms have gotten more severe. Really? No, that's not what the data says. So at this point, I mean, honestly, don't have time for this nonsense. You know, CNN has been blasted. They used the hurricane to attack Ron DeSantis, undiluted partisan mockery. We're going to get into all of that stuff. I'll share some audio from that, get your thoughts on that as well. We have got, I mean, I don't even know where to start today, to be quite honest. I've got some news on inflation and how we had it in check and Joe Biden's massive spending destroyed the economy. There's no doubt about it anymore. More theories about the Nord Stream gas pipeline, and it is all pointing toward sabotage, and it looks like the United States. And it's sad because we live in the United States, and for the first time ever, I kind of believe Russia more because our country and our government and Joe Biden lies about everything. And then I've got something also. There was a movie or a YouTube video that was demonetized, and all it did was show highlights of how Democrats for the last 6 or 8 years have said that the 2020 election was stolen. The 2016 election was stolen. Wasn't a commentary on 2020, but it was demonetized, and YouTube has put it back up. I'm going to share some highlights on that. And again, your calls are welcome at 800-922-6680. My friends, this would be a Friday edition of the Rob Carson Show. Back in a few.
There's only one cure for Americans who are sick and tired of being sick and tired.
I'm going to give you hope.
Vote Democrats out. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Our commitment to tackling the climate crisis, which threatens all of us, we're seeing the consequences of climate change around the world very vividly.
Yeah, you know, here's the amazing thing. If the Democrat Party says something is a crisis and there is maybe some legislation associated with it, realize they're using the word crisis. That's what it is. They're using the word crisis. Joe Biden tried that with this idiotic student loan payback thing, which was going to buy votes going in November. He thought it would work, and he's recanting some of that. Apparently now they're going to eliminate the private loans from that, not the government loans from that, because so many people are filing lawsuits because Joe Biden said, oh, yeah, we're still in this COVID crisis. And so he was going to use his executive order on this, using the word crisis, declaring a state of emergency, and then getting what he wanted done. Same thing happened with you not going to church last year or 2 years ago. Remember that? Remember that whole thing where you had to wear a stupid, stupid mask all the time? Remember that, all the idiocy related to COVID? You had to stand 6 feet apart from somebody, even though it was completely made up. Remember all that nonsense? But it was a crisis, so you had to do it, right? Yeah, it was a crisis. Everything's a crisis. Everything's emergency. But see, Joe Biden made the mistake when he was talking to, he was having a makeout session with Scott Pelley. Remember that? That was old and sloppy and awful. But anyway, on 60 Minutes, and Joe Biden's walking through a GM factory or an auto show featuring GM products because, you know, he's bought off the unions on electric vehicles. And he said, oh, yeah, the pandemic's over. And then they had to walk that back because if you say that, then we can't use the C word. which of course is crisis. That's what that is. And then there's just some super, super, super stupid stuff yesterday. Here's the View. Oh, I said it. Thank God. I always get it confused because I accidentally say Harpies from Hell because they sound so much alike. So back to the Harpy. See, I told you they sound so much alike. So it's the View. View. This is the View yesterday. And they decided to become snarky. And they started to be like the gaggle of girls in high school at the prom who see another girl walk in and they immediately start picking her apart, you know, rather than say, so they're sitting here and they're Harpies. I mean, they're the View hosts. And here they are saying, hey, Ron DeSantis, he doesn't need any help because, you know, that would be socialism. If the government got involved with the rescue, that would be socialism. And nothing could be further from the truth, but they're too stupid to know it.
Governor DeSantis says it's all hands on deck to prepare for what's coming. And that includes reaching across the aisle for help.
Isn't it socialism when the government helps you?
That's so profoundly ignorant of this woman who's been on the planet like almost 80 years. The government exists for a variety of reasons, solid border to protect us, to create a sovereign state where you can exist peacefully, defend against enemies, foreign. You know that. Socialism is when government takes over businesses and tries to run businesses. That's what that is all about. So she's so stupid, she doesn't know that. So and the only reason she could say this, because the people in the crowd are juiced by the fluffers before the show. Hey, agree with everything they say and applaud and applaud and applaud. Trust me, I've been into tapings of shows like this. But, it's just stupid. And if you were there with a bunch of just, you know, maybe moderates or conservatives, this wouldn't fly. But she's got her fluffers.
But they say, like Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and things like that.
Got a comment.
Yeah.
And the police and, I mean, socialism.
That's just so unbelievably stupid that I don't think I need to address it any further. You have to consider public safety if you are going to be a sovereign nation. Those are those things. Those are the things you expect from government. You don't expect government to run companies. That's socialism. But she's too dumb to know that. Here's this is Joy Reid. Dear God in heaven. She's unbelievable, by the way. She had a new one on yesterday. Anyway, here's Joy Reid. And now listen to this. This is, she's saying that, this climate change is causing all this migration. That's what it is. That's why all these people are coming here, so I don't want to complain about it. I'll shoot this down in just a second, but go ahead and listen to it.
The reality is that humans, we're literally running from the climate change that we're pretending isn't happening, but we're physically being moved around the earth because of it.
It will actually be the same.
Why aren't people moving from Florida? Why are people from New York moving to Florida? Why are people from Mexico going to Florida? Why aren't people from Florida running from Florida to go to Mexico? You doofus.
The biggest cause of migration. We typically think of migration.
The climate change is the biggest cause of migration. No, that's bullcrap, actually.
Being moved around the earth because of it.
It will actually be the single biggest cause of migration. We typically think of migration being caused.
Oh, it will be. It will. He's saying it will be.
By conflict and wars and things like that in Syria, it triggered it in Ukraine. That's not going to be what it is. It's actually going to be migration because people.
They're making this up. It's all made up.
Can't move. Generally speaking, prosperous people can move first because they can afford to. But eventually when the great.
Then why are people still staying in Florida? Climate change.
Stops growing or the fields keep flooding. The poor people move, too. And we're going to have to come to terms with the fact that that's going to be the major cause.
It is going to be. It's
around
be.
The world and here.
It's going to be. It's going to be. You know, global warming. It's going to be. Everything's going to be. You know, all this stuff. Honestly, just shut up. It's stupid. Why do people come here? We just got hit by the worst hurricane ever because of climate change. Why in the hell do people want to come here? Why did 5 million people come here? By the way, originally, when our vice president is supposed to be the border czar, who's a joke, she said, oh, yeah, it's climate change. People are escaping climate change. No, it's not. If that were the case, why would they come to the United States? They'd be going, oh, my God, the United States, the worst hurricane ever, climate change. We can't go there. You see what I'm doing? All right, we got more on this coming up. And then, inflation and the Nord Stream pipeline. This is a Friday edition of the Rob Carson Show. Don't go anywhere.
looking for a woke take on current events, just go back to sleep, because you're not getting it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Every day is good for a little Metallica, but especially on Friday. Yeah. So, 10 worst hurricanes to hit the United States. Here they are. You ready? A Chenier Camanita hurricane, 1893. That was 130 years ago. Let's see here. The Galveston hurricane in 1900. Everybody remembers that. Joe Biden was there. That was in 1900. That was 122 years ago. San Felipe Okeechobee hurricane, 1928. The great hurricane, the great Labor Day hurricane in 1935. 185 mile an hour winds in 1935. That was the year Elvis was born. Hurricane Camille, 1969. Cat 5. Everybody remembers Hurricane Andrew, 1992. That was a Cat 5. 165 mile per hour winds. Then Hurricane Katrina, 2005. Hurricane Sandy, 2012. Now, if all of these hurricanes were in the last 20 years, you'd have an argument for global warming / climate change. So it looks like either people who are escaping the Northern Triangle because climate change to come to the United States, which now is being affected by more powerful hurricanes because climate change, apparently are moving here because they're sadomasochists. That's the reason why. God, you people are so stupid. Not you guys. I'm talking about the left.
Climate change making storms bigger and more costly.
Climate change is ravaging the coast.
Now, climate change and these extreme warm waters.
Climate change intensifying hurricanes. And they say climate change is supercharging storm systems like this one.
Liars on the storm. Liars on the storm. We blame the hurricane on fake climate change. We're liars on the storm.
We have a president who sees dead people.
We say the earth's too warm.
Oh, yeah, it's warming now.
And that somehow caused the storm.
If you buy a $70,000 electric car, it'll be fine.
Global warming is our scheme to achieve our Marxist dream. We're liars on the storm. Me and my friend Al Gore. We're dishonest to the core. I've split lives everywhere to become a billionaire. Watch my net worth soar. A pair of frauds we are, and Joe made me climate czar. We're liars on the storm.
Do you see why CNN's ratings are plummeting and MSNBC? Because they keep, they expect you to come back like an abusive relationship. I won't hit you this time. No, no, no. And the reason why I use that is because I saw that in my life as a child. There's been a backlash for CNN, people saying that Ron DeSantis is doing a poor job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all nonsense. The governor had 28 helicopters, National Guard, Coast Guard, bucket trucks. They're already in there cleaning up. They're taking over. CNN reporter Steve Contero used the hurricane to disparage DeSantis. Here he wrote in a CNN article, an abrasive political style is what has endeared DeSantis to Republican voters across the country amid his ascent within his party, but it has also resulted in strained relationship with the same local and national leaders DeSantis must now collaborate with to get Florida through this storm. DeSantis urged Tampa Bay residents to follow the advice of local leaders and lauded county emergency management teams as experienced professionals. Blah, 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 blah. DeSantis Rapid Response Team Director Christina Pershaw has responded, Floridians lives are in danger, so of course CNN is rooting for the hurricane. Not everything is about politics. If you see a Cat 4 plus hurricane approaching the coast of the United States and your first instinct is baseless partisan speculation, perhaps you should stop calling yourself a journalist. Yeah, if you are seriously equating mask mandates and lockdowns to hurricane evacuations, which are proven necessary from past experience, reevaluate and other things. And honestly, it's nonsense. It is. It's ridiculous. And it used to be, you know, when there was a mass shooting, there was a mall shooting, there was a theater shooting or whatever, the Democrats would wait a day or two before they started talking about getting rid of the Second Amendment. That's what it is. It's not comprehensive gun safety reform. It's getting rid of the Second Amendment. They hate it. They hate it. They always have. They hate the First Amendment. That's why they're working with big social media to shut down free speech. All right? That's what they do. But now, if you noticed, in Buffalo, New York, this summer, a shooter went in and murdered a bunch of people. And while the bodies were still on the ground, Democrats started talking about comprehensive gun control and how it could have stopped the event like this from happening. You know, it's just ridiculous. I pointed this out yesterday. It was echoed by everybody in the media last night. It's just the way it is. It's just common sense stuff, guys. And the same goes for climate change. All of this climate change nonsense. The storm hasn't even started. And they're blaming, they're saying the Ron DeSantis response is terrible. They're saying that if he asks for help, it's socialism. That's just stupid. Stupid, 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 stupid. Candace Owens was on with Tucker last night, and Candace Owens is from the millennial generation. I am a part of the last analog generation. We're a part of the last generation that was not indoctrinated in schools. We had Christmas and Valentine's Day in school. We said the Pledge of Allegiance. We had no issue with it. We were colorblind. We didn't give a rat's behind if you were black, blue, or purple, whatever. Who the hell cares? We weren't all cisgendered and transgendered and whatever all that crap is. We were the last common sense analog generation. We were the last generation to not wear bike helmets and not have cell phones wherever we go. We were the last generation to get skin knees and sunburn. We were the last generation to, you know, if you had a way to communicate with someone, it was a walkie-talkie and it had a Morse code feature on it. Okay, all of this stuff. And we didn't have to go through all this crap in school. Candace Owens, the first generation millennials that had to go through that crap. And here she is talking about that.
Well, not if you're a member of the Democratic Party, because they're utter sociopaths and psychopaths. And when they see these tragedies take place, by the way, this is the same methodology that takes place with school shootings. You would think that we could mourn and we can be sad, but they say, wait a second.
I said that yesterday.
There are some children that are dead, so allow us to get in front of cameras and tell you why you need to give us more power. And the fact that they think about their own power,
because it's an emergency,
or in consuming more power,
it's a crisis,
power when tragedy strikes, is, as I said, an example of utter psychopaths. And what's going on, obviously, is an extreme tragedy. But as you pointed out, Tucker, it is a natural tragedy. The Earth has hurricanes. If there was no human beings that walked the face of the planet, there would continue to be hurricanes, like there would continue to be blizzards, and like there would continue to be tornadoes.
Yeah, I was in Washington, D.C. during Snowmageddon in 2010, where there was 26 inches of snow on a weekend and then like 16 the following Wednesday with 70-mile-an-hour winds. It didn't happen after that. And it didn't happen before that. So it's not climate change. It's just that, you know, the world spins around and there's this big ball of hydrogen gas that's on fire about 93 million miles away. And by the way, Mars has some of the same polar ice cap melting and building just like the Earth at the same time, which says solar activity. Not affected by climate change. A little bit more of Candace Owens.
There's no lobby, in my opinion, that should be laughed at harder than the climate lobby.
Oh, yeah.
Because they just keep being...
And you need to do that. You need to laugh at them. You need to ridicule them. You need to use facts to make them look like morons.
Proven wrong. Now, when I was a kid, I was told it was global warming. Yeah. Hide under your desk, kids. The polar bears are going to drown because there's global warming.
Mm-hmm.
But they stopped using that language around 2011 because accidentally the Earth started to cool and disproved their narrative.
What?
Before my generation, by the way, Tucker, there was a generation that was told global cooling was going to spell the
that
end of the world.
That was my generation. We should be living under ice now.
Except what happened was they were proven wrong and the Earth started to warm. There was the ozone layer. Remember the ozone layer,
what's
the
that?
Hole in the ozone layer.
Yeah.
Oops, that actually wasn't a tragedy, and so they moved on. There was the acidic oceans. There was going to be acidic rain because the oceans were acid. Oops, that didn't.
Oh, yeah, the acid rain thing and the killer bees. I forgot about that.
Happened, so they moved on. They've been.
What about them murder hornets? What the hell happened to those?
Wrong over and over and over again. Their climate models are a complete fraud, and yet they're still allowed to look you in the face when a natural disaster strikes and tell you, well, you know, I know we've been wrong forever and we've never once gotten it right, but give us your money anyways. These people are sick.
Yeah, and by the way, Candace Owens, here she is talking about Al Gore's inconvenient truth. Now, Al Gore's been wrong all the time. In 1990, I remember he was on with Rush Limbaugh on TV, on Nightline, and Limbaugh basically eviscerated him. And every one of Al Gore's catastrophic predictions for the Earth has been an absolute lie. But that didn't keep the American education system from indoctrinating children into believing this horse crap.
We absolutely have a right to fact back, and where we need to start is in the education system. Because my mind was polluted about climate change, or about global warming, rather, because they sat us down in health class and they made us watch Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore. That was a lie. It never came into fruition. And they keep focusing on these young generations to sell them fear for their own power.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go to Bob in Parkville, Maryland. Hello there, Bob. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's going on?
Yes, good afternoon. I wanted to talk about Governor DeSantis, if you don't mind.
Oh, please.
He was on the ball before that hurricane ever hit.
Yep.
He had the National Guard preparation. Anything he could think of that was necessary, he did.
Yep.
He's a doer. In other words, he's a leader.
Yeah.
You don't have too many of them around. And Eisenhower, my man, was a leader.
I know.
He was a hell of a leader. I served under him when he was president.
Yeah, yeah. And, I'm with you, Bob. I think DeSantis was doing a good job. I think that if you, and I did this meme yesterday, I compared Ray Nagin's New Orleans versus Governor DeSantis' Florida with regard to preparation. No comparison whatsoever. DeSantis is a military man. He is a disciplined leader. He's a great leader. And I think he's going to go down as one of the better governors in the history of the country and will eventually be the president of the United States.
1,100 miles already clear of roads.
Absolutely amazing. 1,100 miles of closed roads already open the day after the storm. I love it. I absolutely love it. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Steve in Monterey, California. Hello there, Steve, and welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's going on? Hello,
yeah,
Steve.
I used to live in Florida, and I want to let everyone know it's an unnatural anomaly caused by a meteorite, the one that took out the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That carved out the Gulf of Mexico and pushed the seabed up to a sandbar in Florida. Mm-hmm. And if that anomaly causes the tornadoes in Tornado Alley, causes the tornadoes to siphon in from Haiti.
Yeah.
So it's a devil's hotbed, and people should build there at their own risk. In fact, people should build partially submerged, round, like a half-buried golf ball. They should build their houses aerodynamically like a golf ball on top and underneath so it will stay cool. And that's going to have to be the fact in the future.
Well, Steve, that's already happening. And actually, when I was in Iowa, there were a lot of people who did those half-buried houses. They'll build them into the side of a hill. And what it does is when you go down a few feet into the ground, the temperature is always the same there. And so it does. And listen, here's the deal. I live in Tornado Alley. I've never lived in a home that didn't have a shelter, a basement, for instance. If you live in Tornado Alley, you have to have a basement. You have to have a shelter. You have to realize that there are areas known for certain things. Steve, if I'm not mistaken, Florida has always been known as a place that's prone to hurricanes. Am I right? Or is this just suddenly new the last 20 years because of climate change?
No, it's always been that way. And it's because of the way it was carved out by the meteorite. But you know why I think the hurricane hit there?
Why?
Stephen King lived.
I knew you were going to do it. Thanks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm with you 100%. I've got a little bit more on this. I want to get into Whoopi Goldberg defending the president for seeing dead people. Oh, by the way, in Fort Myers, they've implemented a 6 p.m. curfew due to looters, and they have zero tolerance for looters, unlike in Chicago and Philadelphia, by the way. Looting and violence is not tolerated at all. As far as I'm concerned, in both cases, you should be able to shoot them both. I know that sounds terrible, but honestly, I don't care if it happens in Chicago. I don't know if it happens in Florida. If somebody comes into your business to rob you blind, you should be able to shoot them. Just pew, 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 pew. What do you think about that? Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
An election year, and a whole lot of Democrats have electile dysfunction.
That is simply not true.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
If you guys get a chance to check out my TV show, yeah, I got a TV show. It's called Rob Carson's What in the World? And it's a good one this week. I record it, and it will air Saturday at 8 o'clock Eastern. It'll air Sunday at 2 o'clock Eastern. And again, Monday morning, bright and early. That's when Donald Trump actually watches the show. But I think you're going to really enjoy it. This week, we've got Joe Biden and Scott Pelley's Love Fest. Ron DeSantis takes down the president's border policy. Don Lemon gets schooled on reparations, among other things. So all of that is coming up this weekend, hurricane coverage and whatnot. But the most important thing is it is funny, and it makes a point. So if you get a chance to go to NewsmaxTV.com and look for your, you know, where you can watch it. If you're watching DirecTV, it's channel 349. But I think you'll really enjoy it. By the way, Trevor Noah, he's been canceled. because his ratings are terrible. He did The Daily Show. He took over after Jon Stewart. And I'll get to that very shortly, and I'll explain why his show failed, Sam B. failed, and why late-night television is sucking wind despite having massive budgets, all the talent in the world, all of the celebrities, all the bands, and they're all getting just destroyed by a guy named Greg Gutfeld, and on Saturday nights, a guy named Rob Carson on Newsmax. So I got that coming up. So this is a new piece from Nicole Saphir, doctor, physician at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center and assistant professor at Weill Cornell Medical College, written an attack on the media saying that Joe Biden's perfectly fine. The headline of this article is, "Where's Jackie? Americans cannot ignore the troubling signs of decline in front of our faces. Biden must submit to a cognitive test and give us the transparency we deserve." Now, this is the adult thing to do. This is the right thing to do. We are not children here. We are not here dancing around grandpa and debating whether he needs to go to the nursing home or not. This is not polite. This is not this is deadly serious stuff. We live in a world where we are surrounded by our enemies. We still live in a world where China would love to see us go down in flames. We live in a world where North Korea and China and Russia would love to kill you, your family, and take all of our natural resources. Things haven't changed. Things have not changed. And we have to be able to question Joe Biden's bumbling, fumbling nonsense. And, of course, we all saw this. And to what make things even worse, when he said of this congresswoman who died, Jackie Walorski, 2 months ago, this event was about defeating hunger. It was a global fund conference, I guess. And she was one of the main instrumental players in this. And so this meeting that they had was really a tribute to her. So she was very top of mind because her memory needed to live on. And Joe Biden forgot she died. And, of course, Whoopi Goldberg, who is willing to say, "Oh, yeah, yeah, DeSantis asking for help to all the people in Florida. It's socialism." She also said this about Joe Biden, thinking that somebody was alive when he knew she was dead 2 months ago. Called the family. The whole deal.
Yesterday, the White House addressed a gaffe from President Biden at a conference on hunger, nutrition, and health, where he asked for a representative who died in a car accident last month. Take a look.
I want to thank all of you here. Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
Yeah, unless it's a seance.
The president appeared to look around the room for an audience member, a member of Congress who passed away last month. He seemed to indicate she might be in the room.
Of course, she was on his mind. She was of top of mind for the president.
He said, "Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here."
No, I totally understand. I just explained she was on top of mind.
The confusing part is why, if she and the family is top of mind, does the president think that she's living and in the room?
I don't find that confusing.
Oh, I do, and we all do, because Joe Biden's done this kind of stuff hundreds of times.
I mean, I think many people can speak to sometimes when you have someone top of mind.
Yeah, whatever.
They're a top of mind.
You know, my gosh, come on. You can't go after him for, you know, not giving aid to Florida or not tackling the infrastructure that he's giving.
This is called moral relativism, by the way.
Aid to Ukraine. So you can't go after him for that.
That's a distraction.
But you can go after him for forgetting that someone has passed.
Unbelievable, honestly. I've got a little bit more on this. Your thoughts, well, as welcome at 800-922-6680. We'll be back in a second. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
And by the grace of God, it is finally Friday. This is the second hour of the Rob Carson Show. There is much coming up, including some debate about the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipeline and sabotage. And all fingers are kind of pointing to us. Who knew? Sometimes it's hard to, you know, put together everything that's going on in the world, everything that is happening in our country, all of the attacks on our country from within. And then you hear things like the president of the United States earlier this year saying that if Russia went into Ukraine, that he would get rid of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And he was asked about it, And he said, we'll get rid of it. And didn't explain. And then it blows up in several different locations, clearly an act of sabotage. And we're expected to go, oh, yeah, it's Putin. Yeah, it's totally Putin. Yeah. It's like the, you know, the election of 2016. Oh, yeah, it's all Putin. It's Putin. No, it wasn't. It was Hillary Clinton. It was Hillary Clinton. It was the FBI. See what I'm doing here? Yeah. There are a lot of things if you just put two and two together, you have a little bit of common sense and you're observant, then you can refute all of this. For instance, I always like to say, why do I think the 2020 election was stolen? Because I'm not stupid. Why did I think COVID was overplayed? Why did I think masks were worthless? Why did I think that the COVID vaccine was being pushed on us when it was unnecessary for a lot of us? Because I'm not stupid. Why do I think Joe Biden is mentally in decline? Dear God in heaven, if you are a doctor and you don't see it yet, maybe you should do something else for a living. I'm absolutely serious. If you don't recognize it, dear God in heaven. I grew up, we had a lot of my mother was wonderful. She was a great caregiver. And rather than like some of our elderly relatives having to go live their last years in a nursing home, she would invite them to live with us. My dad actually built an addition onto our house for his mother in her last years, and she lived with us for almost a decade. And my Uncle Virgil and my Aunt Colleen, my Uncle Virgil died in our home. So he wouldn't have to go to a hospital or a nursing home. And so I saw the decline. I saw the decline in all of them, and I see the exact same thing. And dear God in heaven, you do too. This is that kind of dear leader crap that you hear about from North Korea. You know, when Kim Jong-il was dying. Oh, no, he's perfectly fine. The dear leader is stronger than ever. He can bench press a donkey. You know, and this is the same crap. They're doing the same crap that they do in totalitarian regimes. We see it on everything. They're trying to control your thoughts, how you think, what you believe. And if you say anything against the Democrat and the government line, they label it disinformation and misinformation. We are repeating history, and we're beating it back, but we've got a lot of fighting to do. I had mentioned this piece by Nicole Saphir. She's a physician at Sloan Kettering, assistant professor at Weill Cornell Medical College. She says President Biden should undergo a cognitive assessment, as did Donald Trump. Those tests should be released to the American public. He's our president. We deserve to know. All right? This isn't FDR. This isn't shooting him from the waist up. This is a cognitive mental decline that is impacting his decision-making, among other things. She says, while I'm a physician, I haven't formally examined President Biden. I can't diagnose the president or anyone from afar, but common sense demands that we not ignore the troubling signs in front of our faces. In November 2021 exam, the president's physician noted that Biden's ambulatory gait is perceptibly stiffer and less fluid than it was a year ago. So that's a physical decline. After an outdoor White House event in August, the president attempted to shake Senator Chuck Schumer's hand after appearing to forget that he just shook hands. Remember that? Following his remarks at the Global Fund conference in September, Biden looked lost while walking off the stage before appearing to ask the crowd where he should go. Dear God in heaven. And then, of course, he referred to someone who had just died, saying that, Jackie, are you alive? Of Jackie Walarski, who died just 2 months ago. And all of these people, Whoopi Goldberg, everybody in the mainstream media, the White House, the Biden administration, they're doing the same damn thing they do to prop up. Like, for instance, Fidel Castro was perfectly healthy till the day he died, right? The dear leader is perfectly fine. He is aging, but he is aging gracefully. That's the same sort of crap. And the amazing thing is we got the First Amendment. We don't have to do that. But some people in the country want to do that. Because I don't know what, if it's sadomasochistic or isn't it sadistic? No, it's masochism is when you spank and sadistic is when you spank and masochistic is when you go, thanks, sir, can I have another? So that's what it, here's Chris Alcedo. He's a Newsmax host, wonderful guy, by the way, talking about the reality that our president is mentally impaired.
But absent sane reasoning or rational thought, the unqualified press secretary declared, we can't talk about a clear and present danger to American safety and security.
Which is Joe Biden's brain.
If President Trump had been the one looking around the room for a dead person, yeah, this would be the part where Shep Smith, Neil Cavuto, Don Lime, Jake Tapper, and the rest of them looked.
He said Don Lime instead of Don Lemon. You see what he did? It's a citrus fruit, by the way. Grapefruit would have been funny, too.
Into the camera and said, Really? Picture Shep Smith, who used to be one of the best breaking news guys in the business, with his resonant voice, looking into the camera saying, can we stop pretending now? Can we stop pretending that this occupier of the Oval Office is at all qualified to have our lives in his hands? Oh, wait. We don't have to imagine. Watch.
Listen.
You know, it's sort of our job to let you know when things are said that aren't true, especially by people you've elected. And this president keeps telling untrue things.
What?
And he does it every single time he's in front of the microphone.
Democrats, isn't it time we all abandon the big lie that Joe Biden is mentally fit to sit in the Oval Office?
No, you know, they weren't willing to get rid of the big lie that was the 2016 election steal. Why would they do that? They're going to be on the wrong side of history. This always happens when you just exist to spew party talking points. But you do, Carson. You're conservative talk show host. Now, I don't just spew the party talking points. I talk my own conservative upbringing and knowledge and common sense, and I bring that to the equation. I disagree with a lot of Republicans like Mitch McConnell, who I think should go warm himself on a rock in a swamp somewhere after his next term. Here is Stephen Miller. He's wonderful. He's a former Trump confidant, and I just think he's brilliant. Here he is talking to Eric Bolling on Newsmax about Joe Biden's mental acuity.
Well, you're asking exactly the right question. Every cabinet secretary needs to be asked whether or not they're going to invoke the 25th Amendment. You assembled an incredibly persuasive set of clips and sound and video in your monologue this evening. And it documents, as can a thousand...
I remember when Ronald Reagan was president, I was in high school, and he would have one little gaffe and they were convinced, oh, he's, you know, he ended up with Alzheimer's, of course. But he was perfectly... I mean, there were little gaffes, little forgetful gaffes when he was a president. Nothing like Joe Biden, who constantly they have to walk back stupid things he says, like he would defend Taiwan with our military, among other things. It's very clear, guys.
More clips that you've seen and that you've talked about before, that President Biden is not cognitively present. He does not have the mental capacity to serve as the president of the United States of America. If he was in a nursing home...
What are you getting from defending it and acting like it isn't happened when you know in your head that mental decline doesn't stop? There's no pill that they can give Joe Biden that will return him to when he was 40.
He would be in the assisted living section, not the area where people are in a retirement community who are living their own lives and who are making their own decisions. Maybe they just have a little bit of help when they need it. He would be in the round-the-clock care section for someone who forgets who they are, where they are, what they're doing, who's alive, who's dead.
He shouldn't be the president.
How to take care of themselves. He is completely cognitively diminished and deteriorated. So this is a terrifying situation.
It is absolutely terrifying. But what is more terrifying is that the Democrat Party doesn't have a problem with it because the people who are pulling the strings, and I absolutely believe Barack Obama is a part of this, Susan Rice is still a major advisor, Barack Obama a couple years ago said if he could just sit in the background and pull the strings, he would love to do it, I'm not stupid, But they see somebody they can prop up. They see a sycophantic media. They see people like Whoopi Goldberg who will fall on a sword for this, even though she's wrong. And they charge forward, keep him in office because he's doing what we want him to do. That's how bad things are. One day we're going to look back at all of this and we're going to laugh after we, you know, imprison some of the people who have done this crap to the country. But we will. We'll look at this point in history as the point that we really, really came very close to descending into what was the Soviet Union, what was East Germany, what is North Korea, what is China. It's going to happen. What side of history do you want to be on? Do you want to? Are you tired of being wrong all the time? You tired of being wrong on defunding? How about defunding the police? He thought that was a good idea. Everybody on the right was saying, what a stupid idea. That'll cause crime to go through the ceiling. And now what do we have on national media? Oh, yeah, yeah. You talk to the DA in Philly, who has ushered in this new unprecedented wave of murders and violence and shootings and smash and grab robberies. And he's saying, oh, yeah, the crime's going up in Republican-run cities. No, it isn't, you moron. It's really easy to figure it out. But one day, all of those who are still defending this administration, this attack on freedom of speech, this attack on truth, we're going to look back and we're going to go, we can't go there again. And while we're in the midst of it, we have to defeat them. We have to defeat the left. We have to. Otherwise, the country descends into the countries that I just mentioned. All right. So we're going to move into a little bit on the economy, a little bit on the Nord Stream pipeline. And then, YouTube demonetized a factual video that highlighted how Democrats repeatedly claimed that Donald Trump stole the 2016 election. It wasn't about the 2020 election at all. But this video was demonetized. I'm going to share the details coming up in a few. This is the Rob Carson Show.
SS Titanic is sinking.
No, don't. Look, everybody's entitled to be an idiot.
Let's torpedo it and put it out of our misery on November 8th. It's the Rob Carson Show.
A couple of headlines today that are kind of interesting. Berkeley law students develop Jewish-free zones to ensure the safety of Palestinian students. Usually the Jewish students aren't the ones doing the attacking. So the Jewish school dean would technically be banned. Didn't Germany try that? Didn't they try to make Germany into a Jewish-free zone? That's how just absurd these children on campuses have gotten. You've got housing that's separated for color, which, you know, while you're at it, let's do bathrooms and water fountains while you're at it. Honestly, just stupid. Really, really stupid. And we've got to refute all of this, and there's going to have to be held to pay for all of this nonsense. Oh, here's some more news. Suicide rates rose 4% in 2021 during the second year of the pandemic and the first year of the Biden administration, reversing years of decline. So there you go. Something else you can attribute to Joe Biden's presidency. It happened under his watch. And it's becoming increasingly clear just how unnecessary the Biden administration's 2021 spending spree was and why it sparked the worst inflation in decades. This, according to Breitbart, the government on Thursday released its revised estimates for economic growth in 2020 and 21. The new figures show the economy contracted by less than previously thought when the pandemic first struck and recovered more quickly than earlier estimates indicated. So things weren't as bad when Donald Trump was the president, but they tried to make the virus sound as bad as possible. They tried to get as many people diagnosed with it as possible. And they tried to destroy Trump's presidency because of it. And even Deborah Birx said that. Even Deborah Birx said, yeah, they're playing up this virus before the election for political reasons. And then, of course, she lost her post. So the August estimates for gross domestic product in the year of the Trump administration last year, when the pandemic descended on the country, showed output falling by 3.4%, mostly because there were so many Democrat governors and municipalities shutting down all commerce. The revised estimate says the decline was just 2.8%, so not that big a deal. Consumer spending was significantly higher in 2020 than was believed. Gross domestic product contracted by 1.6% in the first 3 months of 2022 and by 0.6% in April through June, the June quarter, meaning the economy shrank for two consecutive quarters this year, which would mean, my friends, we are in a recession. There's no waiting about it. There's no thinking it's going to happen next year. It's happening right now, and you know why? Figures don't lie. And we're not stupid.
A recession. That is what we're in.
Jim Gossett.
No one can deny the White House is a tempting spin, but the numbers do not lie.
It's going to get ugly.
The GDP was negative for two quarters in a row. That's a recession, and it's always been time to face the music, Joe.
Need to talk to FDR.
You see, it's still a recession by any other name. Biden's denial is lame.
I think Joe thinks he's still alive.
A recession, that is what we've got. Joe and Janet Yellen are lying a lot. A recession by any other name. La, 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 la.
So there were a lot of accusations that Trump's alleged mishandling of the pandemic had bungled the economy, a key part of Joe Biden's campaign pitch when they stole the election. In the second quarter of 2020, when much of the economy was subject to severe lockdown restrictions, mostly by Democrats, the economy shrank at a seasonally adjusted annualized rate of about 30%. The early report had it shrinking at 31%, so the shrinkage wasn't as bad as, I don't know, me jumping into a cold swimming pool. Anyway, the narrative that Trump had left the economy in shambles led directly to the disastrous American Rescue Plan, the $1.9 trillion spending spree enacted shortly after the president took office. But you see, it was a crisis. It was a crisis. And they needed to take advantage of a crisis, like a hurricane, for more climate change agenda and for a mass shooting to limit your ability to have a firearm, which is guaranteed by the Constitution. It's kind of weird how that happens. If you just pay attention, it kind of makes sense. And there's some debate about the Nord Stream pipeline. Who did blow up the Nord Stream gas pipeline, Russia or America? Finger of blame is now being pointed at President Biden amid riddle of blasts in the Baltic. Now, if Russia wanted to shut down the flow of gas to Germany and European countries, well, he already has, and all you got to do is turn the valve. You don't need to blow up your infrastructure. It doesn't make any sense, okay? Deep beneath the Baltic Sea, this is from UK Daily Mail, by the way, a secretly remotely controlled submarine releases a mine which nestles beside a gas line. Other mines are laid out in critical junctures along hundreds of miles of pipeline connecting Russia and Germany. They contain the equivalent of hundreds of rounds of TNT. When they are detonated, either by a timing device or remotely from a secret control room, the aftershocks are felt 800 miles away, and seismologists liken the blast to earthquakes. But was it also the staggering act of self-sabotage by Vladimir Putin that the world it assumes it had been? Well, no. And one of the weird reasons is Vladimir Putin never said he wanted to get rid of it. If he attacked Ukraine, he didn't do that. But Joe Biden did. Listen.
Let me answer the first question first. If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2.
I'm just going to say this president also shut down another pipeline. It was called the Keystone XL, but he didn't have to place bombs on it.
We will bring an end to it.
But how will you do that exactly, since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control?
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? And anybody with any journalistic integrity would say, huh, that's kind of interesting. Let's at least try to eliminate this, rather than just saying, oh no, it couldn't happen, it's Russia. Yeah, same thing they did in 2016 with the election. This is the Rob Carson Show. Don't go anywhere.
Trump says he's the funniest man on TV. Just wait till he hears him on the radio. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show, and it is, by the grace of God, finally Friday. Finally Friday. This is Tori Nuland. She is a Biden administration official talking about the Nord Stream pipeline that was sabotaged.
With regard to Nord Stream 2, we continue to have very strong and clear conversations with our German allies, and I want to be clear with you today. if Russia invades Ukraine, mm-hmm. one way or another, did, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, you take the evidence, you look at it, you decide. I'm not completely, my mind isn't made up, but generally if somebody says they're going to get rid of the pipeline by hook or by crook, if Russia invades Ukraine, then sooner or later they're going to, you know, they're going to make good on their promise. I'm just saying. Let's go to Tiger, a guy named Tiger in Richmond, VA. Hello, Tiger. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. You disagree with me on climate change. Go right ahead.
Hey, Rob Carson. Thanks for calling. So I heard you mention that farmers in Kansas are not feeling the effects of climate change. And I'm actually a farmer in Richmond, Virginia. It's been only 3 years. But I often hear the argument that climate change is a natural occurrence and that it has nothing to do with man-made systems. And I can agree that it may be a natural occurrence. But I wonder if you don't believe that the effects of deforestation, the heating of the waters, and like over algaeifying, which, you know, hurts.
Yeah, those are all. Okay. Tiger, what do you farm, by the way? How much acreage do you have, and what crops do you grow?
Just 2 acres. We grow produce.
Oh. Okay. All right. Cool. And what have you seen that would be climate related that has damaged your yields?
Just rain patterns. Unexpected drought. Like, it's been 3 years, and I've noticed changes in the natural irrigation systems that we didn't have to use before, and like how some crops just got destroyed because of too much rain in ways that it hadn't years before.
Tiger, I do appreciate your phone call, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to disparage you. I grew up on a farm. I grew up in Iowa. I worked fields my entire life. I've walked hundreds of acres of soybeans in my life, thousands of acres of soybeans in my life. I have picked up bales and the whole deal. And I will tell you that that weather is cyclical, that the breadbasket of America is still the breadbasket of America. Now, as far as deforestation and all that, yeah, I get it. That will definitely impact the region. For instance, the Dust Bowl. Do you recall learning about the Dust Bowl and irresponsible farming in the 1920s in the Midwest?
Something about it.
Yeah, what they did, and they had to change things. They had to do a lot of different things. And I don't want to get too deep in the woods here, because you're talking to a farm. You're talking to a farm guy here, buddy. But for instance, terraces. You see terraces in Iowa and on hills because it keeps the soil from washing away. That came around after the Dust Bowl. You also see rotation of crops and leaving things in, like the corn stubble. You leave it in the field over the winter. That way, and then you till the ground and you rotate your crops and all those things. So I do not doubt that our activity has an impact on the planet. Whether or not that our activity has an impact on raising and lowering the sea levels, I would absolutely disagree with, because they've been so wrong about everything. I have 50 years of failed doomsday predictions in front of me, including Britain would be Siberia in 2024. The Arctic would be ice-free by 2018. Al Gore said that the Arctic would be ice-free by 2013. Al Gore, said that. Then they said that there would be an ice freeze by 2015. So I see a lot of instruments of fear when it comes to global climate change. But I understand where you're coming from. Being a farmer, weather patterns do change, and they will most probably return to, you know, you'll have a rainy season, you'll have a dry season. These things happen. But go right ahead, Tiger. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
I appreciate that. It's just seeing these things from a farmer's perspective.
I understand.
It's hard for me to, like, I have these conversations with, you know, I'm not left wing, I'm not right wing, I'm not for Biden, I'm not for Trump, but I can have conversations with people on the streets because I'm interested in knowing, where they think that we're all going.
Exactly. I get it. Hey, man, I get it. And there's a lot of, climate porn out there. It's meant to scare you. It's meant to frighten you. Let me ask you this. Are you going to buy an electric tractor?
I'm not at that level right now. But,
okay, all right. Let me ask you this. I'm just going to, and I'm not meaning to be snarky or whatever. If, for instance, Whoopi Goldberg or no, Joy Reid earlier said that that there are climate refugees because the world is suffering climate change, can you give me an idea where is a safe place to go if you are concerned about climate change?
I mean, so I'm white and Hawaiian, so okay. I have some family in the Pacific Islands. And I don't know, I hear you in terms of where's a safe place to go, but that shit is scary. Let me ask you this.
If indeed there's climate change that happened all over and Joy Reid says that it's going to cause massive migration, I need to know where the safe places are. Uh-huh. And the reason why I bring that up is because if the whole world is going through climate change, then there's no safe place. And it would also make no sense for 5 million people coming across our southern border to come to the United States when Hurricane Ian hit and it's climate change and Florida is no longer safe. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, just breathe. You're going to have a dry year 1 year. You're going to have a wet year 1 year. Some year you may have a flood. I've seen it all because I've lived through it, Tiger. I have lived through it. So let me ask you this. How are your tomatoes this year?
Tomatoes are good.
Good. Okay. Yeah. You know, some years you have a good tomato. Sometimes you have crappy tomatoes. I mean, it just happens. It's one of these things. You know, Native Americans used to do rain dances because some years it was dry, and so that was their appealing to a higher power to bring us rain. This stuff, it hasn't always been glory and plenty and perfect until SUVs rolled around. You see what I'm saying? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So you're a Pacific Islander. You're a Pacific Islander, are you? That's awesome. I love it. What's up with poi? I've tried it. What the heck? Really? It's terrible.
Let me ask you one last question.
Yes, go ahead.
You said the Kansas would be okay. So, and this isn't being snarky either, but do you think that would be enough food to feed the nation?
No. There's regions all over the country where we grow food. I mean, look at it. Also, Netherlands, they have massive farming regions. I'm not just talking about Kansas. I lived in Missouri and Iowa and Illinois and Maryland. Maryland is agricultural. New York is agricultural. New Jersey is agricultural. Pennsylvania is agricultural. Once you get outside Pennsylvania, it's farmland everywhere. So there's farmland everywhere. And guess what? Kansas, if you drive across Kansas, which God forbid, Tiger, if you ever have to drive across Kansas, pay someone to do it and drug yourself to knock yourself out, because it's like 8 hours across. So in 8 hours of driving, you're going to find parts of Kansas that are having a bad growing season because not enough rain, and then you're going to find places that have plenty of rain. It's kind of strange that way, but it doesn't happen uniformly around the world. But I want to tell you, I greatly appreciate you calling today and presenting your argument, man, and thanks for just having a reasonable discussion about it.
I appreciate you taking the time.
All right, my friend. Good luck with your acreage. It's an acreage.
We'll see.
All right, it's an acreage. It's not a farm yet. It's an acreage. Okay, you keep dreaming. You'll have a farm someday. Right now, you got an acreage.
Acreage.
All right. All right, buddy. See you. I'm teasing, Ty, because we had 5 acres, and I say we grew up on a farm. And the reason why I say we grew up on a farm is because we grew all of our, we had livestock, dad grew corn, and then the off years he'd grow soybeans, and sometimes we'd rent out the land that we had, and that's what we, so we had a farm. My dad didn't farm for a living, so we called it an acreage. Tiger, if he makes a living on the produce grown in his 2 acres, then he has a farm, all right? Otherwise, he just has an acreage. Yeah, whatever. These are the things you get from a Midwestern host. It's just funny. It is just funny. And I like the fact that we were able to have a discussion about it, because generally it's easy to get into a shouting match. As I mentioned earlier, social media to us is like a fence between dogs. We do all sorts of crazy crap when we're separated by social media and distance. And your dogs do crazy crap when they're separated by a fence. They are the biggest badasses in the history of the world. My dog literally had her foot almost ripped off because there was a fence between us and the other dogs. And she got her paw into there, and the other dog grabbed the fence. But if you would have opened the fence, the dogs probably would have been just fine. Same way with social media. Oh, you think climate change is real? Well, you're just a hippie, dope-smoking jerkweed, whatever. Well, most of you are. But, you know, at least we can have a discussion, and I can present without conjecture and without fear-mongering. Here, hold on. I got so much crap. It's just, for instance, I mean, here's some of the things. There was these are apocalyptic predictions. I'm going to put this on my page. This is an article from Mark Perry, and he has, with all these links of all of these predictions that have been wrong from climate alarmists, ice age by coming by 20 or 2030 in 1971, new ice age by 2070, 1972, another ice age 1974, that all went away, 1980, acid rain is going to kill all life in lakes, 1978, no sign and end to a 30-year global cooling, weird. 2004, Britain will be Siberia by 2024. The Arctic will be ice-free by 2018. That came around in 2008. All of these, I'll put these on my social media. And I'm getting rid of Twitter, by the way. I'm just going to keep it open, but I'm just not going to post anything because it's worthless. The same way with Facebook. I'm just leaving it there for my kids' pictures, and I think I'm going to be done with it. We're going to go with Getter, and we're going to go with Truth. Truth Social. Al Gore predicted an ice-free Arctic by 2013. Why is he still being held with such high regard? Why does he only show his face in public every once in a while so he can sound off and run and hide? Because he's been freaking wrong. And all you need to do is pay a little attention. And if people say, oh, yeah, there's climate refugees everywhere. There's climate change. Well, where's safe? Where's the safe? If they're going to be climate refugees, where do they go? Or are you just proposing that everybody just run around? When there's a thunderstorm in Fiji, you got to go to, you know, wherever they're not having a thunderstorm. And when there's a thunderstorm there, then you got to go somewhere. This is madness. This is stupidity. All you have to do is just stop and say, hold on. Some days it's rainy. Some days it's sunny. Some years it's dry. I mean, listen, our front yard here, we don't have a sprinkler system. Our front yard, the last couple of years, has gotten yellow in August because we don't water the yard, and that's just the way it is in August. Now, about 10 years ago, we went to my sister-in-law's in Oklahoma, and it was 105 degrees every day we were there. And in Missouri, all the crops were withered. It was a drought. It was like 10 years ago. Well, this year, all the crops are green. I drove right through them. I drove all the way down through on my vacation. Drove through Arkansas, and I drove through Tennessee, and I drove. And all of the states, their crops are doing just fine. And so it's just a cyclical thing. But when you hear things like crisis from the government, realize they're going to use that in some way, shape, or form. Joe Biden used the COVID crisis to waive $1 trillion worth of student loan debt for the election. And then he said, oh, yeah, the crisis is over. All right. COVID was a major crisis. Got to shut down all businesses. Got to vote by proxy. You got to vote. You got to send in your ballot. You can't be seen in public. You got to close down schools. You can't go to church. Whenever you hear the word crisis and the government uses it, unless it's like, Ron DeSantis saying, hey, we're going to be in a crisis because the hurricane hits. If legislation is associated with the word crisis and a Democrat's name is right next to it, you know you're being played. How about that? Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
If you live in this country and aren't down with freedom of speech, maybe you should move down to Cuba. It's The Rob Carson Show.
At the top of next hour, we're going to get to this video that was demonetized. Presumably because it was somehow related to commentary about the 2020 election being stolen, but it wasn't. Matt Taibbi, writing for Substack, and his newsletter called TK News, did a video that just highlighted Democrats raising hell about 2016 not being legitimate. And they demonetized him. And they put it back up again. All right? So there you go. Now, I'm going to do something at great personal risk to myself. I've done this before, and I've been able to recover fully. But I'm going to do this right now. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a sound clip from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is a very dangerous thing for someone who has his mental faculties, because as you listen to her words, you begin to lose IQ points. I'm not sure if this has been scientifically proven, but I have been able to show you this on air as a host. So I'm going to do this. I want you to know that I love you guys. I think you're awesome. And I'm doing this out of love, at risk of personal injury. I'm going to play AOC, and I'm going to try and continue the show while losing IQ points because I'm listening to her, because she sucks the smart out of you. She's like that storm surge. No, she's like when the tsunami happens. All the water goes out of the bay, and then her stupid washes in and kills everybody. So here we go. AOC says forcing working class people to give birth against their will by banning abortion is a profound economic issue. This sounds exactly like China. One China policy, one child, or you know, even having a child that's a baby girl and leaving her on the side of the road to die. This is about keeping the machine going. This is about you are a cog, and a baby, it will throw a cog in the machine. So without further ado, I'm going to play AOC defending her position that forcing people, I guess women, people, everybody can have babies now, to give birth against their will by banning abortion is a profound economic issue. So here we go. This is me before AOC. Here we go.
You know, I think it's important to state that that abortion is an economic issue. Forcing.
Hold on, I'll test myself here. 1 + 1 = It's a little harder now. I'm going to go ahead and say 2. Is that right? Okay, good.
Poor and working class people to give birth against their will, against their consent.
Okay, hold on. Now I'm going to try it again. 2 + 2. Is at 7 now, right? It's not. Okay.
Against their ability to provide for themselves or a child is a profound economic issue.
And 5 + 5 = giraffe. It's giraffe, right?
It's certainly a way to keep a workforce basically conscripted.
Shoe, hat, airplane.
To large-scale employers and to employers to be to work more against
the Eagles, playing the Eagles. Holy crap, I just became John Fetterman.
Their will to take second and third jobs against their desire and their own autonomy.
Sure.
And so the idea that abortion and...
Jackie, are you here? Jackie? Oh, she's dead.
Access to abortion is somehow not a profound and central economic and class.
I'm slobbering on myself.
You know, I think it's important to state economic and class issue and class struggle.
Applesauce for supper.
Is certainly something that I think a person who's never had to contend with the ability to carry a child, you know, it belies that perspective.
That was weird. I almost became a Yankees fan. It's a joke. I'm just kidding. But you see what happens when you listen to stupid for too long. That happens. I'm going to recover here. Maybe go get a cup of coffee if I can find my way in there. I might actually try to put the coffee into a ceramic vase or something. But I'm going to recover, and I'll be back fully charged and ready to go on the Rob Carson Show. Don't go anywhere.
They called us deplorables.
We're not gonna take it.
They shut down our country.
No, we ain't gonna take it.
They say our thoughts are disinformation.
We're not gonna take it anymore.
We will not go quietly into the night.
You tell them I'm coming.
We will not vanish without a fight.
And hell's coming with me, you hear?
Today,
hell's coming with me.
We celebrate our
This is our response, The Rob Carson Show.
It is The Rob Carson Show. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Cam Edwards, the editor of BearingArms.com, is going to talk to us about a bunch of stuff that's going on in the country. Backdoor gun control, as it were, growing backlash over new gun rules in upstate New York. It looks like credit card companies want to track you buying guns, so a lot of gun stores are getting ATMs because the government wants to literally track what you bought where. We've had instances of law enforcement going to people's homes because they saw that people had purchased guns and they just wanted to see the guns and all this and make sure you got them so we can come back and get them, I assume. But anyway, we'll talk about it at the bottom of the hour. One more thing just on climate change. And again, if you're so panicked about climate change and you think that, you know, there's going to be all this climate migration, well, where's the safe place? Where are you safe? Now, there's a desert out west. It's called the Death Valley. And it is not arable farmland. And it literally, we've known about Death Valley as long as the country's been. It's the same as it was. There are some years it'll be 135 degrees. Some years it's only 115. Kind of weird. Another weird thing. I grew up in Southwest Iowa. In the upper part of Iowa. Oh, and by the way, the lakes in Minnesota. I'll get to that in a second. It's not Paul Bunyan. He didn't do it. I know. This is kind of weird. Maybe I shouldn't have just sprung that on you. But there's this giant, in northern Iowa, you see giant walls of rocks. And then also in northern Iowa, in the corners of the farm fields, you see piles of rocks. And you're like, what the hell are those rocks doing there? Well, the glaciers that happened about 10,000 years ago swept down across the North American continent and scraped out giant, you know, holes in the earth that became lakes in Minnesota. And they left at the very end of their as they began to retreat, they left all the debris that they dragged with them. So that's in northern Iowa, Minnesota, and whatnot. It's right there. And this is another reason why when you go to Iowa or to North or South Dakota and you dig a hole, you're going to be digging through dirt for about 10 or 15 feet. Where I live now in the Kansas-Missouri area, you dig down about 6 inches, tink, 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 you're going to be hitting rocks. Because, you see, that's what the glaciers did, and then the glaciers retreated, and it wasn't because dodo birds drove SUVs. It's a cycle of the earth. That's how it works. There you go. So, this is pretty interesting. YouTube has demonetized a factual video that highlights how Democrat politicians have repeatedly claimed that Donald Trump's presidency was illegitimate. Now, you'll know that you can't say anything about the 2020 election. You can't say that there was chicanery there because, you know, that's disinformation and misinformation. And by the way, it is settled, and you're a denier if you even bring it up. Yeah, but there are thousands of incidences, and there are thousands of affidavits. People swore. Nope, it's disinformation. Really? Well, what about all the election poll workers, poll watchers that were Republicans that were shut out in Philadelphia and other? You're a denier. It's disinformation. But what about the five states where they stopped counting the votes on the night of the election when Donald Trump was way out in front? The next morning, 95 to 100% of the votes came up for Joe Biden, just enough in those states to put him over the top. You honestly, seriously, you need re-education because that is all disinformation. That is disinformation and misinformation. End of story. Now get your vaccine. But oddly enough, nothing like this happened after 2016. Even though we now know the FBI was involved in finding a Russian dossier, paying for it, making up all sorts of claims about Donald Trump collaborating with Russia to throw the election. It was all a lie. It's been proven. There was a $35 million case where they investigated the collusion between Donald Trump, and it didn't happen. Even the FBI had to admit it. And now they're just covering their asses because a lot of people are going to go to jail in the FBI for the crap that they did to the country. It's going to happen. So I want to share some of the audio from Matt Taibbi, and this video that was literally, he did it for TK News, and the YouTube took it down. The YouTube election misinformation policies prohibit users from posting misleading or deceptive content with serious risk of egregious harm and content interfering with Democrat processes. False claims that widespread fraud, errors, and glitches occurred in certain past certified national elections, as well as content that claims that the certified results of those elections were false, not allowed. Let me play some audio of what he included in this. Now, again, you weren't able to say anything about the 2020 election, even though there were reams of evidence, and you're not stupid. But I'm going to play a few samples of this video so you can see that the Democrats went at us no holds barred on the 2016 election, and we were supposed to just take it. But the day after the election, November, I think it was the 9th of 2020, Bill Barr said there was no election chicanery and there would be no investigations of the 2020 election. That was the day after the election. The same day that me and thousands of other conservatives had their social media posts about the election taken down. I had my Facebook page removed completely. It disappeared for a year. Yeah. Here's a little bit from Matt Taibbi's video.
Stolens. He's an illegitimate president. He's an illegitimate president.
You know, pretending to be president.
Why do you think the president is going to such great lengths to essentially prove that he beat you?
Because he didn't.
One third of Clinton supporters say Trump election is not legitimate.
Why haven't they been banned from social media? Why aren't they deniers? You know the answer.
An illegitimate president that didn't really win.
You are absolutely right.
You can run the best campaign. Yeah. You can even become the nominee.
Yeah.
And you can have the election stolen from you.
The 2016 election was stolen.
Now, all of that right now is absolutely false. That was proven wrong. But who did it? Who did steal the election?
Say Russia hacked the election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
A little louder, please.
Russia hacked our election. That was a 9/11 scale event.
This was a kind of cyber 9/11.
This went on for 4 years. We couldn't say a damn thing about the 2020 election without being shut down.
9/11. Yes.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia, of course, hacked our election here.
Half of Clinton's voters believe the conspiracy theory that Russia hacked Election Day votes.
We know that they were into voting rolls.
Actual interference with the elections themselves.
We know it happened.
Despite no credit.
Zuckerbucks. Unmanned ballot boxes around the country. Stuffed with 95 to 100% Biden votes and picked up the day after the election when they knew exactly how many votes they need to beat Donald Trump.
Evidence. 67% of Democrats believe Russia tampered with vote tallies.
Hacking the U.S. election.
Hacking the U.S. election.
Russia hacked our election.
The Russians hacked our election.
Russia hacked our...
Now, normally, media figures and public figures who said all those things would be ashamed. They would be ashamed. They'd be afraid to show their face in public. Now, you saw the kind of the disappearance of Rachel Maddow for whatever reason. But you're also seeing all of these anchors who were part of this nonsense. They're all losing their jobs because the American people realize that what they were saying was nonsense. That's why CNN is sucking wind. That's why MSNBC is sucking wind. And here they are saying that, we can't say that Joe Biden is the illegitimate president. You can't say that. But it was perfectly fine with Donald Trump.
Illegitimate president.
Why is he illegitimate? He just won an election.
He's an illegitimate president in my mind. That's it.
I absolutely agree.
Experts urge Clinton camp to challenge election results.
We will see how illegitimate his victory actually was.
He's an illegitimate president.
Russia hacked our election.
Russians hacking our election.
Hacked our election.
Russia hacking our election.
I don't see the president-elect as a legitimate president.
He is not a president.
He's illegitimate. And my... is that he's going to do it again with the help of Vlad, his best pal. It's terrifying.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate?
Yeah, then it was nonsense because Donald Trump, there was no reason why Russia would want Donald Trump as the president. Because he's a hawk on defense, a hawk on the economy, a hawk on our tech, a hawk on energy independence. Hillary Clinton, the opposite. She'd already been bought and paid for by Russia. Uranium One. $150 million into the Clinton Foundation, which, by the way, came out of the woodwork just a few days ago. They're going to try it again. Clinton Foundation folded after she lost the election. Kind of weird. Oh, and then there's the violence. A lot of people are saying, oh, yeah, the Republicans are violent because of January the 6th, which was a setup, which was infiltrated by 14 left-leaning groups and the FBI. But on the other side of the equation, there was legit violence against Donald Trump and Trump supporters. Just listen.
Protests against Donald Trump's election victory surged overnight, and some became violent.
Violence erupted on the streets of Portland during the second straight day of protests over the election of Donald Trump. Some protesters launched fireworks and other projectiles at police. Several people began vandalizing cars.
This is all part of this video from Matt Taibbi that was demonetized on YouTube before he could even put it up.
Some demonstrators smashed store windows. Protesters faced off with police.
Like they're trying to cover something up.
In other cities, too, including Oakland, Denver, and Minneapolis.
Violent protests continuing now for the third day in a row. Some 4,000 angry demonstrators over Trump's election victory taking to the streets.
Officers in front of thousands.
And yet the mainstream media and the Biden administration is saying that Trump voters were behind all this violence, and they didn't do a damn thing. Not a thing.
Thousands of protesters in what police called a riot.
Setting fires, taking their frustrations out on cars and buildings. People threw projectiles at officers and damaged property as well.
I threw a trash can at them because I'm angry.
One woman driving through was attacked as someone used a bat to smash her windshield.
They are undermining our democratic process, everything that we stand
for. And everything was a lie. Taibbi wrote and was told his video was demonetized before it was even published. He said, I'd like to thank YouTube for making our point. The material in this video does not promote the idea that any election or was stolen or illegitimate. On contrary, it shows a great mass of comments from Democrat partisans and pundits who themselves make the claim about the 2016 election. So it wasn't even about the 2020 election at all. It was just showing how Democrats reacted to the 2016 election. These are the thought controllers. Do you see what we're up against? And I would hope that some of you on the left would go, oh, yeah, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? But you probably don't because you're so blinded by everything. I mean, you think that Ron DeSantis, caused the hurricane or driving a, you know, you're having a gas powered leaf blower caused the hurricane. Nonsense. The truth is going to come out and people are going to be held responsible for it. I'll post this on my social media, this Matt Taibbi video. I think you'll enjoy it. And make sure to share it lots and lots on social media everywhere, because now YouTube can't deny it. They put it up. Now they can't deny it. All right, let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
The left has been trying to get you to hate America for 50 years.
And we're fighting it, and we're fighting it hard.
Guess what? It ain't working. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Coming up, an actual doctor appeared on Capitol Hill yesterday and said that men can get pregnant. I mean, really. Really, men can get pregnant. I'm not talking about the transgender, holy... Everybody can get pregnant. I'll share that in just a second. And then also, oh, by the way, there's a major step. You know, we've heard a lot of things, and I'm not trying to make fun of transgender individuals. If you feel like you need to do that, fine. If you're under 16, no. And if you're a hospital that does it to kids who are under 18, you need to be putting out of business. You need to be shut down. If you're a doctor who does it, shut down. If you are a psychologist who says, oh, yeah, the reason your 8-year-old is being so weird is that, you know, born with a penis but is actually a girl, you need to lose your practice. You know, sorry. I'm right on this one. But that said, you know, we saw some major moves for transgendered individuals. We saw that Rachel Levine was a mid-level manager with a couple kids as a guy getting ready for retirement, became a woman, and suddenly became Woman of the Year. Leah Thomas was a losing male swimmer in college athletics his junior year. He's like 500th rated in the country. He decided to become a woman, became the best woman swimmer in the entire world. Kind of absurd, right? Kind of absurd. I've got another
when
first.
When you're a man who calls himself a girl.
Another first coming up.
It can be a bonus.
Bonus. Not, okay.
When you compete with women, you have to hide.
First trans spy. Details coming up.
Ooh, that pair of cojones. I can cycle against the girls, that's my choice.
This is Jim Gossett, by the way.
I can steal their medals with this manly voice, cause the left makes me feel. The left makes me feel.
I feel kind of weird.
The left makes me feel like a transgender woman.
You need a voiceectomy, I guess.
When I compete with females. Mm. I'm the one that's feared, cause I'm the only person in the race with a beard. But somehow I feel the left makes me feel.
I'm gonna shave your legs.
They make me feel like a transgender woman.
So Johns Hopkins doctor told her trans army officer wife to stop being a coward and work through her ethical issues to hand over medical information on senior military officers to Russians. So this is spying. Major Jamie Lee Henry, the Army's first trans officer. The first one is a spy. That's going to set us back decades. Not me. I'm cisgender. Anyway, Dr. Anna Gabrielini was and Major Jamie Lee Henry were indicted for trying to give secrets to the Russian government. The files included medical records of senior military officers at North Carolina's Fort Bragg. And these two were married, apparently. Major Jamie Lee Henry, if you've seen pictures. Anyway, Johns Hopkins Dr. Anna Gabrielian, 36, were accused of using their secret clearance at North Carolina's Fort Bragg to steal records from the base's hospital. They're from Rockville, by the way. And they got together, and he decided to become a she. And apparently they were selling medical records to Russia, and they're in a heap of trouble. A lot of espionage going on these days. Wasn't there another couple, like, from Annapolis just busted? Mr. and Mrs. Smith, effectively. Oh, and then there's this. During a House Committee on Oversight and Reform on Thursday, Dr. Bavik Kumar, who was a witness at the hearing, asserted that men can become pregnant. Kumar describes himself on social media as a family medicine physician and, quote, abortion and trans care provider in the South. He was questioned by Andrew Clyde of Georgia. Here is the exchange where this doctor in good standing says that men could get pregnant.
So can biological men become pregnant and give birth? So are you saying that a biological female who identifies as a man and therefore becomes pregnant is, quote, a man? Is that what you're saying?
These questions about who can become pregnant are really missing the point. I'm here to talk about what's happening in Texas.
This is me asking a question and you answering. I'm asking.
It's pretty simple, Doc. If you are going to remain a doctor, you have to say somebody who's born a woman is the only person that can have a child.
Question, sir, not you.
Right, and I'm answering the question. Somebody with a uterus may have the capability of becoming pregnant, whether they're a woman or a man. That doesn't make
okay,
a difference.
Okay, we're done.
Not
we're
every
done.
Person.
Yeah, honestly, that's the way I feel. That's a slogan for this election. We're done.
With this isn't complicated.
Has the ability
Let me tell you,
pregnant.
If a person has this a uterus medicine. And is born female, they are a woman. That is not a man, and the vast majority of the world considers that to be a woman, because there are biological differences between men and women. I mean, clearly, any high school biology class teaches that men and women have different chromosomes. Females are XX chromosome and male are XY chromosome.
This doctor, of course, should lose his license. And honestly, it's time to just say no. We're done with the nonsense. What percentage of people believe that someone born a man can get pregnant? Born with a penis and testicles, no uterus, no whatever. How many? If you think that it's possible for a person born a man to have a child, you shouldn't be in medicine. All you got to do is say no to the nonsense. All right, we're going to talk about guns next. Woo-hoo! Yeah. And the attack on the Second Amendment with Cam Edwards from BearingArms.com. Stick around.
Opinions are easy. Entertaining? Not so much. It's the Rob Carson Show.
And by the grace of God, it is finally Friday. Let's talk about the Second Amendment. Let's talk about bearing arms, ladies and gentlemen. Cam Edwards is the editor of BearingArms.com, NRA radio host as well, and sports a hell of a beard. I'll just say that right now. Sports a hell of a beard. And he joins us on the Newsmax hotline. How you doing, bro?
Ho, 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 Rob. I'm good. I'm getting to the busy time of year for me, you know, with the beer and all.
Yeah, but, I know. Once it starts to go, let me ask you this, because I thought about this. You know, that maybe there's a point where you're no longer a sexual being that you will say, hey, well, the beard's already white. Might as well play Santa Claus. Are you getting there? Are you going to do that when you're 70? Are you thinking about it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, right, I am a Santa in training. You know, I work hard. I'm getting the body in shape for it. So, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, your black belt has a couple holsters on either side. It's a little bit
that's
different.
Right.
And you actually literally have Rudolph's head on above your fireplace. That said, let's talk about what's going on with the Biden administration, the federal government, and the battle against the Second Amendment. I know that things have changed pretty dramatically since Joe Biden took office, although Democrats have always gone after the Second Amendment and used tragedy to do that, like they use, weather tragedies to promote global climate change. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on around the country. I know that right now, New York is kind of, New York and now Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, the ground zero for Second Amendment, with governors and mayors saying, no, you can't conceal carry, and just creating their own kind of rules about it. I know that there's been a lot of backlash outside of New York City, because most of New York is agrarian. What's going on in the state of New York with regard to limitations by Kathy Hochul on the Second Amendment?
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, you know, Kathy Hochul was asked when the legislature was ramming these new bills into law, so where are people going to be able to carry? And she said, well, maybe some streets.
Yeah.
And that's basically the case, right? Even though the Supreme Court said in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin that we're talking about a general right to carry in public for self-defense, and that you couldn't, in essence, turn the island of Manhattan into a sensitive place and think that you're complying with the Constitution. So there are, by my count, at least five lawsuits now that have officially been filed. There was one filed yesterday by a couple of members of the Jewish Gun Club of New York, who are challenging the prohibition on concealed carry in houses of worship. Until these new laws, you could carry if you had a concealed carry license, right? But almost nobody had a concealed carry license, so it really wasn't much of a concern. But there is a congregation in Brooklyn. One of their members has a concealed carry license in New York City and is allowed to carry, or was allowed to carry, at the synagogue. But now it's a felony for him to do so.
Wow.
And so, as he points out, you know, look, there have been attacks on Jewish communities all across the country. We're a small synagogue. We can't afford to hire private security. And not only he, but other members of the congregation say they don't feel safe going to worship anymore. But we also yesterday had a hearing in Syracuse, New York, a federal judge hearing a case that was brought by Gun Owners of America and several individual plaintiffs. And this challenges the vast majority of these sensitive places that have been put in place. What's interesting about this case is this is the second go round. Yeah. The first time this case was filed, there was a hearing. The judge said, I think a lot of these laws are unconstitutional, but you, the plaintiffs, don't have standing to sue because the laws have not gone into effect yet. So now the laws are in effect. There are some plaintiffs, additional plaintiffs who have been brought on, who say, I'm willing to violate the law in order to exercise my right to carry. So yeah. I am suffering harm here because I could be arrested and charged with a felony at any time.
Yeah.
And so this same judge reheard this case yesterday. It's a request for a temporary injunction, a temporary restraining order that would prevent these laws from being enforced until there's a hearing on an injunction that would also keep the laws, you know, from being enforced while this case is being litigated. I think we've got a really good shot here at the judge coming down on the side of gun owners. What concerns me is a comment that he made yesterday where he said he might stay his ruling so that the state of New York could appeal and basically allow the Second Circuit to decide. So it sounds like he's got his opinions, but he doesn't necessarily want to be the one to pull the trigger and shut down these new laws. I got to say, Rob, I hope that that's not the case, because every day that these laws remain on the books, life and liberty is being impacted in New York State. There are good people who are unable to protect themselves. There are people who are unable to exercise their constitutionally protected rights. And if the state wants to appeal the judge's decision, that's fine. But those folks should not be harmed every day in the meantime. And that's exactly what is happening every day these laws are being enforced.
I would not live in freaking New York City unless I could conceal carry. I would not live in Philadelphia. I would not live in Ferguson, Missouri. I would not live in San Francisco. Are you out of your nut? What would you rather be? What would you rather be, arrested and charged or dead? I don't give a crap, honestly. You know where I live? I live in Johnson County, Kansas, on the Kansas side of Kansas City, Missouri. We have we have open carry here. All right, I had to sell cars for a couple of years, and there were people with open carry come and sit down, and you'd see a couple people kind of freaking. I'd be like, damn, sit right here at my desk, sir. What can I get you? Because I know I'm not going to get shot when you're sitting across the counter from me. All right? And you know how many smash and grab robberies that Johnson County has had this year?
I'm guessing close to zero.
Absolutely zero. You know how many armed liquor store robberies there have been? Zero.
Zero.
You know why? Because you get your ass shot. That's why.
Well, and I mean, listen, Kansas not only has open carry, you have constitutional carry.
Yes.
Right? So as long as you can legally own a gun, you can legally carry it.
Boom.
In fact, I just had a story of bearing arms. This is going to go up this weekend about an armed citizen in Wichita who helped police apprehend an attempted murder.
Yeah.
You know, and this was just a couple of days ago. That's something that isn't going to happen in New York City or San Francisco, right? Or because, again, there are no good guys with guns around. And so you have cities that are literally out of control. Philadelphia is a little bit of a different animal because Pennsylvania is a shall-issue state. There are some folks with concealed carry licenses, but the city itself is so hostile to gun ownership.
Yeah,
they actually shut down the licensing bureau in the early days of the COVID pandemic because, you know, had to keep people safe, right? We had to stay 6 feet away. And there was like a year-long wait to simply apply for a carry permit. Yes. I mean, that's how much contempt they have for the right to keep
it's really
home.
Amazing. It's really amazing. They will put everything in the way for the right to keep and bear arms. But if you say you need an ID to vote, dear God in heaven, the world is going to implode. Let me ask you this, because ATF has been going to gun owners. They've been tracking purchases. I shared some audio. This has happened on numerous occasions. They'll show up on the porch. And they'll say, hey, we just got some words that you're buying a couple of guns this year, and we're worried about straw purchases. And the one video I did have, the guy literally showed the ATF the gun. I'm like, don't show the gun to the ATF. Say, get the hell off my porch and come back with a warrant. What are you seeing nationally as far as the federal government getting involved in trying to limit or monitor the ownership of guns in this country?
So, I mean, there are a couple of things, right? You've got the ATF, which definitely seems to be taking a very aggressive approach to end users now that Steve Dettelbach has been confirmed. We weren't seeing these stories about the ATF agents showing up on people's doorsteps without warrants until after Dettelbach was sworn in as the ATF's permanent director. So, you know, I've been saying since Joe Biden has been in the White House that, you know, one of the things that the gun control lobby wants to do is to weaponize the ATF and to basically turn it into a gun control group with law enforcement powers. Mm-hmm. And I think with Dettelbach in place, they've gone a long way towards that. Dettelbach was their second choice, but he's still vociferously anti-gun. Beyond the ATF, though, you also got the postal inspectors, apparently, who are snooping on gun owners' social media accounts. We learned about that thanks to a Freedom of Information Act request. And gun owners weren't the only ones who were being surveilled, but I got to tell you, I have real issues with this. I mean, these postal inspectors, these are the men and women who are supposed to be screening our mail to ensure that, like, China's not shipping fentanyl
over
here,
that.
Right?
That
people aren't, you know, doing illegal things. And instead, I guess we've got these folks who are just, like, scrolling through our social media feeds every day looking for something that they can say, uh-oh. That seems suspicious.
And by the way, Facebook is playing along. They're literally sending messages, private messages, to the feds. This has happened on a number of occasions. This is coming out that they literally, Facebook has been turning over conversations, red flagging conversations, whether it be anti-Biden, I thought the election was stolen and all this. Your best bet, honestly, get the bleep off of Facebook. Get the bleep off of Twitter. I'm absolutely, if you are a gun owner and you want to keep your guns and you want to stay, you get the hell off of those platforms and you don't say anything about it. Now, I know that's a bad thing to do, but right now they are literally working against us and they're using that platform to go after you. So if you are, until this is figured out, you need to get the hell off.
Listen, you don't have to convince me. I am not a social media user. This is one of those reasons. Not the entire reason. I like to joke that I'm actually a camish, kind of like Amish, but my technology stops about 1998 or so.
After that, I get
a little uncomfortable. But you know, I can use cell phones, I can use personal computers, I can use laptops, but no social media in 1998.
Let me ask you this.
I guess we could do like dial up on AOL.
Yeah. Anyway, what about credit card companies tracking gun buys? And the Fed certainly wants to do that. Now they're installing ATMs in some gun stores. How is this going to go?
So this is interesting because this is not really something that the credit card companies were asking for.
Uh-uh.
In fact, they were resisting this. This campaign goes back about 5 years. New York Times columnist Andrew Ross Sorkin wrote a big piece about how the financial services industry needed to divest itself from the gun business. And ever since, you've had, you know, gun control groups. And more recently, this sort of woke bank called Amalgamated Bank. It's a New York bank that loves the lefties. They started this campaign to get a Geneva-based, I think it's called the International Standardization Organization.
Sure, okay.
To create a new merchant credit code for sales at gun stores.
Yeah.
Up until this point, you go and you buy something at a gun store, it comes up as general merchandise.
Yep.
But now, they're not going to be able to see what you bought.
Yeah.
But they're going to be able to see that you bought something at a gun store. Yeah. And the problem for the credit card companies is, again, they didn't ask for this. They didn't really want it because now they're supposed to somehow screen these transactions for evidence of you know, something suspicious and nefarious because there's a federal law that requires credit card companies to look for evidence of crimes. Now, what they're really supposed to look for is evidence of financial crimes.
Yeah.
You know, money laundering, things of that. Not you know, attempted murder or somebody plotting a mass shooting. Because how on earth do you determine that based on a purchase at a particular location?
You know what? You know what it is, Cam? It's show me the man, I'll show you the crime. That's why they're doing blanket warrants. That's why they did a blanket warrant on Mar-a-Lago. That's why they're doing that with Trump supporters. It's anything they can do to gather as much about you as they can using a minor whatever. And it doesn't even have to be a hint of illegality. Just a purchase at a gun store. That's what this is all about, my friend. These are dangerous times. I have a feeling that we're going to be able to turn this around. I think it's going to, I really do believe that the groundswell is gigantic, not only on this, but as far as free speech, but as far as the border and all of this stuff. And I really think we're going to see a true return to constitutional principles, especially with regard to the Second Amendment. We can never stop fighting. Now, we got to run, but I want to tell you something. If you ever make it to Kansas, all right, I don't think I'm going to live here the rest of my life. I moved here for a job. They got great schools, and we'll stay here until my kids are out of school. Then I'm going to get back to history. I used to live in D.C., did the afternoon show on Mix 107.3, then moved to WMAL. While you were there, by the way,
yeah.
That said, you got to come out here because you're going to love it. They've got two big shooting ranges here. They're called Frontier Justice. And you go in and you could do the fully automatic experience, which no real gun owner does because it's a waste of ammunition.
Right.
But you can go there and it's a boutique and there's a lounge and a whole deal. And then when you're done with that, you can go to Outlaw Cigar. And you can go in and smoke cigars, bring your own if you got a little bourbon or whatever, and you can hang out there. And they celebrate gun ownership and the military. So you got to come out here, brother. I don't think you'd ever go back to Virginia, I got to tell you.
Well, listen, I grew up in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I'm very familiar with that part of Kansas. And I tell you what, next time I get out there, I've still got family out in Oklahoma. So next time I get out there,
all right, brother.
I'm going to take an extra couple of days. I'm going to let you know ahead of time.
All right.
And we'll do this.
You know what I think? I think, Cam Edwards, you're going to be our official Second Amendment dude. I think we are. I think we're going to have you on again, my friend.
I hope so, Rob. Hey,
all right.
Man, have a great weekend. Thanks so much for the invite.
Hey, man, where can people find you on social media?
Well, I mean, you can look for me. I've got a Twitter account, but
BearingArms.com,
so.
Right?
Best place, honestly, just go to BearingArms.com.
All right.
You can find me there and look for Bearing Arms Cam and Company on YouTube, Rumble, and all the major podcast platforms.
All right, my brother. Have a great weekend. God bless. Godspeed. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, you're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
They shut down your kids' school. They forced them to wear masks. They taught them CRT and radical transgender nonsense. Now, Mama Bear and Papa Bear are pissed. It's The Rob Carson Show.
Make sure to check out the TV show this weekend. It's Rob Carson's What in the World? If you haven't seen it, it's funny. Donald Trump says I'm the funniest person on television, and I think you'll enjoy it because I do I make a point, use humor, use a lot of video clips and all that stuff. Just go to NewsmaxTV.com and look for the schedule. It'll be 8 o'clock tomorrow night Eastern, 2 o'clock on Sunday Eastern, then again bright and early on Monday morning. That's when President Trump watches. Trevor Noah is the host of The Daily Show. Maybe you didn't notice this. I guess I was very disappointed in Trevor Noah. He's not unfunny. Don't get me wrong. There's a reason why he, you know, got national publicity. His show had really slumped, and his show was really okay. When COVID hit, that's when my show really blew up because I had a studio and I built it myself. I didn't have Comedy Central spending millions of dollars. I built this studio myself. Newsmax came and put a couple lights in. But while that happened, while his show declined in quality during COVID, and it really did, it was terrible. It was like Ellen DeGeneres doing her show on a couch at home. It was just awful the way they did it. And he wore a hoodie like John Fetterman. And many things may have precipitated his demise as the host of The Daily Show. And this may actually end The Daily Show altogether, although I did put on Twitter and I tagged The Daily Show and Trevor Noah, hey, maybe it's time to maybe consider a conservative host. Didn't get a response here. Anyway, here is Trevor Noah talking about his glorious cast. And he's been there at Comedy Central for 7 years after Jon Stewart. And because he was down to about 363,000 viewers a show, they're calling it quits.
One of the overriding feelings I found myself experiencing throughout the night.
Samantha Bee, anybody? Samantha Bee?
And even today, waking up was a feeling of gratitude. You know, Ronnie, like the journey we've been on together has been wild. You know, Roy, you know, all the correspondence, everyone.
Brian Stelter, anybody? Brian Stelter?
Many people who make this thing come together. And I want to say thank you to the audience for an amazing 7 years. It's been wild. It's been truly wild.
That's everybody who watches the show right there in that room. Right there. It's that bad.
You know, so many people didn't believe in us. It was a crazy bet to make.
And they were right.
I mean, I still think it was a crazy choice. You know, this random African and bringing a Chinese guy from Malaysia. And
Chinese guys with accents.
You know, doesn't matter if you're diverse. You couldn't get an audience.
Oh, American TV. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And what a journey it's been. Every single one of you who comes here to support us every single day. Everybody who's watched the show and then it's grown all around the world.
And here he is officially signing off to the surprise of the audience.
I found myself thinking throughout the time, you know, everything we've gone through, you know, the Trump presidency, the pandemic, just the journey of, you know, the more pandemic. And I realized that after the 7 years, my time is up.
There you go. There you go. Oh, my God. No, there was no caterwauling. They were kind of like, well, yeah, I kind of figured that. Here's the problem. He didn't stay in his lane. Jimmy Kimmel didn't stay in his lane. Stephen Colbert kind of stayed in his lane, but he destroyed that show. Now, I had to do music radio forever, and I had to play that game. I had to pitch to somebody doing a Hollywood dish. I had to have, you know, pop culture guests in, and I stayed in my lane. Now, if you are going to host a comedy show, host a comedy show. If you're going to host a political comedy show, host a political comedy show. All right? He strayed out of his lane, and he parrots a lot of things that just aren't true. I'll explain more of this when we have more time. Let's take a break, come back, and wrap things up. It's the Rob Carson Show. All right, guys, have a glorious weekend. God bless the people of Florida in the eye of the storm and those who are dealing with the destruction, the first responders who are fixing everything, the governor there, the unborn, and you guys. Check out the TV show and the podcast this weekend if you would, and I'll see you Monday. In the meantime, do not catch the stupid. I'll see you then.